This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. If you take the bus downtown, or especially in Uptown, you may have noticed some interesting art in a few of the bus shelters. This would be portraits and profiles of what, at face value, seem like everyday people living in Chicago. But these portraits are actually a part of an art installation project called Unsung Heroes of Uptown, Art of People on the Streets, in the Streets. And it was created by conceptual artist and writer Hannah Blue Chaussette.
Taking art that often is considered elitist, it's in galleries, and it has a limited audience, and bringing it to people and bringing it into bus shelters is really very symbolic because it's part of the everyday life of everyday people.
After the lockdown era of the pandemic, Hannah got together with a few local and international institutions to get this project off the ground. The Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, DCASE, a few local aldermen, and this outdoor advertising company called J.C. Deco. And Hannah Blue Chaussette, by the way, is actually a pseudonym. She says she uses it partially because she's done years of work in Asia, publishing stories there about people there, and she says she doesn't want those stories to put anybody in harm's way. Hannah made a total of 5 portraits of people in Uptown, including some international icons like the late radio and television legend Studs Terkel and Grammy Award-winning songwriter Terry Abramson. But I wanted to talk to somebody who is a true representation of quote-unquote Chicago's port of entry, which is how Studs Terkel referred to Uptown.
That's so true. Mm. We all arrived with so many different languages we call Uptown. It's so diversified with all different ethnic cultures and different immigrants and refugees, learn from each other, from different culture, and we respect. Mm-hmm.
This is Iman Huang Vien. She was also captured in Hannah's portraits, and Iman overcame a lot of obstacles to immigrate here to Chicago over 40 years ago. She and her father almost immediately decided to give back after they got here. They co-founded the Chinese Mutual Aid Association, which supports low-income immigrant and refugee communities across Chicago. Today, I talked to Iman about her story as a quote-unquote unsung hero of Uptown. But first, I asked Hannah, why bus shelters? She says she was inspired by a similar project in New York, where an artist named Martin Gutierrez put self-portraits in the walls of city bus shelters.
I was just struck by the fact that the bus shelter was no longer a bus shelter. It was more like a theater or a presentation event, certainly art. Mm-hmm. And I thought about the Unsung Heroes project I had already started and thought, this is a perfect venue for bringing art into the streets. And in particular, how appropriate, because unsung heroes are people of all walks of life that we encounter every day, ourselves included, who are uncelebrated and should be. Mm. So I met with James Kappelman many times on Zoom to discuss who might represent Uptown. I studied the demographics.
James Kappelman is?
The former alderman of the 46th Ward.
Okay.
Because I thought it might be political. Who was I going to represent? Mm. And he led me to Jackie Taylor, Studs Terkel, the great oral historian. He's a pretty important fellow, wrote 15 books, won the Pulitzer. He was Mr. Chicago. He was on WFMT radio for 45 years, on and on. He had a television show called Studs Place. But he, like Studs, I felt that people were, we have a lot of unsung heroes.
Yeah.
And that by connecting to people, we might actually connect to our neighborhood and our neighbors so much better.
That's beautiful. I love that concept, and the concept of, you know, we're all unsung heroes. You know, I love that way of thinking. We have one of your unsung heroes of Uptown here today. Iman, how did you and Hannah meet?
I was actually not in town, and I got a call from Chinese Mutual Aid. I'm going to abbreviate CMAA.
Okay.
Give me a call, and someone would like to reach out to you and talk to you about your story and ask me if I'd be interested. And I was kind of hesitant because over the year, I think that sometimes reporter can pick and choose what they want to say and write and about. And I said, oh, let me think about it. So it probably take a while to get back to you.
And you're a very busy woman as well.
So do you, everybody in this time. Like, so finally, we got connected.
And it was an instant connection.
Oh.
And I think, yes, she's going to be able to tell my story.
Yeah. I read a lot of your story, probably wasn't even the whole transcript, but I read a lot of it on your website. Hannah, how did you learn about Iman?
So when I thought about how to represent Uptown and all of its diversity, mm-hmm. the Asian population was a very big, important part of that. And I learned about the CMAA, and I learned about how this woman and her father created it. What is it, 46 years ago?
Yes, 1981.
Wow.
But like many experiences I've had when I've started talking to unsung heroes, I became enthralled almost immediately because I believe, Inman, you are not just someone who came over as a refugee, although your story is so compelling and so many people come over have really start from scratch. But there was something extra, an extra plus, plus, plus about you.
Plus, plus, plus.
When I heard the story about you were 18 and you left, it was like your third or fourth attempt to leave.
Correct.
Vietnam, where the communists took over and there was, you had to leave and you tried several times and you got on this boat. But then I learned the story about how you sewed $100 into the waistband of your pants. And then you heard of a business opportunity because the refugees have money and they're at a refugee camp. And Inman saw an opportunity to...
And the refugee camp was in Malaysia.
Yes. You saw an opportunity to buy into a spring roll company.
Yeah, so I read that you had not worked yourself prior to that. Tell me more.
I was a high school, so right before graduate from high school, that's where we have to escape.
Yeah.
So that $100 US dollars in my waistband is so important. As soon as we arrive in the camp, it's a refugee camp, middle of a mountain. You got nothing. You have to build the camp and water. You have to drink water from the well. And the water is like the color of a tea. It's really, really poor condition.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, this woman, just like Hannah said, that it had a name to go to Australia, and they need a partner to do the business together, the spring roll. So it wasn't even a company, just like they put together a small table and stand. So I said, okay, I'm willing to do it, even though I never cook, I never clean, I never do anything housework.
A lot of the context of this portrait is so present from your story, Iman. You are Chinese. You grew up in Vietnam up until this point where you were needing to seek refuge and your family. You were escaping communist rule there. Tell me about how your family ended up in Chicago.
So my two uncles arrived prior to September of 1977. Their name was being picked to come to the United States. So my family, my father, myself, my sister, and two brothers, five of us, came first because we attempted four times that failed. My mom and two sisters still stayed behind in Vietnam.
Wow.
My father made me back this translators who's Chinese because I was not able to speak English. Every day I will go to follow her and said, would you please add my name, my family name to my uncle's name so we can go to United States with my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that persistent every day. She got really tired of me and finally she got the UN officer to tell me that, no, we cannot include you. You have to wait for your uncle to get to United States and file a petition for you.
Oh.
And I said, no, we can't, because my mom and my two sisters in Vietnam is very dangerous. They have to come right away, yes. By the way. He said, no, we still can. So we gave up. That was like sometime in September, October, and I was selling that fresh agro. I was able to make like maybe 25 Malaysian dollars, which is equal to about 12, 13 US dollars. Why people in the camp spend money? We were in the camp making some money.
Wow.
So finally, in late February, early March, they called my uncle's name. Their name got picked to come to United States.
Okay.
So we were so sad that our name was not picked because of my two uncle was picked. Guess what? 3 days later, our family name was Carr.
Oh.
And I said to myself that, you know, years later, I said this persistent backing.
Yes.
It helps.
Squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Get the attention. Yeah. So that's how we got picked to get to Chicago by no choice.
Wow. So, yeah, they were like, and this is where you're going.
Yes,
Chicago's
this is
the place.
Your home.
Wow.
We arrived in Chicago at O'Hare Airport like middle of the night, late night. We didn't know how to come out. We sit inside the plane. So the caseworker, social worker came, walked in the plane and say, come on out. This is your home.
Oh. Did that feel like a nice feeling to you in that moment?
At that moment, it's just like you're safe. Oh, you got a home, you
yes.
know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I know that your professional life, Iman, as far as finance, in that world, you've done so much for immigrant communities, people who came here like yourself, including outreach to folks who are unbanked, underbanked. but I want to talk about the Chinese Mutual Aid Association. Can you tell me about your work to launch that with your father in the 80s, which it sounds like was not that long after you had arrived?
Right. My dad wanted to preserve the Chinese culture, have the kids continue learning the Chinese language. So he would ask, we were living in the uptown building, we were using the basement, and help me teach some of the kids Chinese language.
Hmm.
So we started like very soon after we arrived. So that's how we started. And my dad said that, my God, this country, I didn't even pay any tax. And that's how much we got from this country. We were under welfare for 6 months. And we got housing from the Jewish Federation at the refugee program at that time. My dad was able to get a job. I was able to go to ESL, English as second language, right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like life is all planned for you, that you just follow the plan.
Wow. What a blessing that it worked out for you and your family that way. I know it's
yes.
not the case for a lot of people who come to
the We're very blessed, and I always count that blessing that my family and myself, because of how we were being cared, and really for the benefit that we received during the height of the refugee time, that we really make best use of the welfare system that took advantage and went to learn English and enrich ourselves, empower ourselves.
Mm.
And that's how I worked during the day. I went to evening school. I went to work as a second job at the maintenance in the high-rise building. So it's something that I think being a refugee, that you came from nothing, that there is opportunity for you to grab and learn. You want to try your best to grab it.
Yeah. So for all of your portraits, and maybe this comes from Hannah, the writer, they all incorporate text in various forms, from actual transcriptions of interviews to like a Jimmy John's sandwich wrapper.
Yes.
Tell me about why text is important for you to incorporate that into your visual art.
I'm really glad you asked me, Erin, because all these formats you'll see in the bus shelters are in the form of an Instagram posting. And so I took my cue from Instagram.
Oh. interesting.
But I feel, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now I didn't realize that, but now that you say that, yeah, it makes sense.
But there's a QR code at the bottom on the left side of each portrait, and I hope that people will go out and see them, finding the locations on my website, because it's an experience. It's almost like a performance piece. When you're looking at the painting, the portrait, and you're listening, you scan the QR code and you're listening, it puts you into another space. Mm. It's an experience. And for a lot of people, it's a really moving, impactful experience. And I hope in my small way, I get people to change the way they are in the world. Mm-hmm. Spend a little time talking to the person who's sitting on the bus or someone who's delivered a package. And I've learned that my reality is my reality, but the whole world is so much bigger. Yeah. I feel I'm expanded and more knowledgeable and inspired. And as human beings, we really need that contact.
Yeah. It's lovely when you're inspired to make the work and then the work inspires you once again.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, it's a beautiful cycle. Hannah, you've talked about this project so much about, is being so much about making people feel more connected, right? Getting off their screens, you know, taking a look at the person next to them, right? Or the portrait next to them. In some notes that you sent to me before, you said that it helps people feel more connected. Iman, I wonder if you can talk about how your work with Chinese immigrant communities also works toward helping people feel more connected.
Definitely. I think it's from a very beginning of like planting a seed and how to outreach and embrace the culture. But at the same time, we're trying to reach out to help each other. That makes a big difference in terms of we are connecting people. Because people wanted to be heard. And also when they need help, they're comfortable where there is some place that they can turn to.
Mm-hmm.
And CMA offer, we are like a family, that no matter where you are, who you are, where you come from, you walked in, we're able to help you. And we not just try that, but we try beyond that to have people who speak your language, who understand your culture, to really hand help you
mm-hmm.
to the next level.
Yeah.
So we cover not just the family, the job, but we wanted to make sure that the young people who are growing up in this country understand the culture, but understand the root and where you come from, and then also not melt together, but respect each other and live under the same roof.
Yeah. Have any of those folks come up to you and said, I saw your portrait at the bus stop?
Couple of people actually, they call me and they say, oh, I'm so happy that I'm friends with you.
Yes, I know her. Speaking of the bus stops, when I was standing there reading some of the text that you painted by hand into the portrait of Iman, there was a beautiful quote that really struck me. It's from you, Iman, and you say, I told my sons, your life is like waves. They're coming, and when you know the wave is coming, you have to jump high. Tell me more about that quote and what it means to you.
I've been here 46 years, and I have different challenges in my life. Many times I look around. Most of the time I'm the one that who lend my hand to help other people.
Mm.
And sometimes when it gets to so challenging situation that I went through during the financial crisis, some other difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And I look around, nobody really can help me except myself. So if you know that this is something you are going to face, you don't run away. You don't pretend that it's not going to come. You just stand there, you face it, and you said, okay, I know it's coming. I'm going to jump over and get it over, and I wanted to control it. So I told my son, I said, you don't want to let the situation control your life. You want to control the situation.
Mm.
And that's how that was coming to me, that I think that this kind of wave is nonstop. Some become lower, some higher, some bigger. You cannot forecast what's going to come, but if you know it's coming, then you get prepared and jump.
Mm. good advice from a mama, for sure. Hannah, what stood out to you about that quote that made you want to include it?
So there's so much more to your story, Inman. You've faced so many obstacles, not just learning English and coming to a new country and going from working for a bank, right, to becoming bank president and then becoming an entrepreneur and being a very productive woman in the community, in the Asian community, and finding obstacles even there, that I felt that was the perfect metaphor and also said a lot about you, about how you don't take anything for granted and that you're prepared and you use your experience to make that next jump and you stay positive. So for me, that quote really said a lot about you as a portrait of who you are.
Thank you.
Inman Huang Vien is a co-founder and board member at the Chinese Mutual Aid Association. Inman, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hannah Blue Chausset is a conceptual artist, a writer, an actor, creator of Art of People on the Street, in the Street, and the Unsung Heroes series. Hannah, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Merci beaucoup.
You can check out the actual installations and audio features at bus stations around Uptown and Downtown Chicago. You can also see them on her website, hannahbluechausset.com, which we've also linked in the show notes of this episode. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve edits the show and is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. If you haven't been listening to the last couple episodes, you may have missed that we're changing the format a bit for the show. One thing is that we're putting out these midday conversation episodes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But this Wednesday is Juneteenth, so we're taking a little break. I will talk to you again on Friday. Thank you so much for listening. Happy Juneteenth, y'all.